I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank God for this privilege given to me to be able to share of my calling to salvation, also the calling to the ministry. And I thank God also for this period of time where I was able to carefully consider of how the Lord has worked in my life. And the more I looked back, the more I thought about my life, I realized one great thing is that it's not so much as of myself, but how the Lord has led me. And as we go through the Word of God tonight, and as we, listen to my calling, I pray that the Lord will also touch our hearts and know that it is the Lord who leads all of us and guides us and calls us. Before we begin, let's look to the Lord for His blessings. Our Lord and our God, as we come before Thee, we pray, O Lord, that You will pour down Your blessings in this time. Take away all distractions, grant to us the strength, O Lord, lead us by the working of the Holy Spirit. Be Thou gracious to us, help us as we worship Thee, and be Thou with us. Through Christ our Lord, we ask and pray. Amen. Well, I was born into a non-Christian family, or at home. My home was a family that worshipped the Taoist gods, and that was how I grew up. Right? However, last time we stayed in Bukit Timah, and somehow my parents sent me to this kindergarten there. It's called Glory Presbyterian Church, and they have a kindergarten there. And so I attended kindergarten in a Christian school. And at that point of time, I can't remember much about my kindergarten days, but what I realized is that in those days I enjoyed a lot of the things that any other kindergarten kid would do, learning things here and there, but I enjoyed playing in the school, I enjoyed art, enjoyed painting, where I have this, I don't know, I just love painting, where you just paint and have this great slashes of paint and all that. And yeah, it's all I can remember about kindergarten. But one thing that strikes me, or one thing that remains in me, is that in those days in kindergarten, well, there are many children's stories that we hear in kindergarten, many things that we look at, many things that we learn. But somehow, as I look back, I can't recall any of the children's stories that were taught to me. But however, one thing I do recall and I do remember very clearly is the gospel, actually. And so on a side note, to encourage all the Sunday school teachers out there, those who are teaching children, what the task that has been given to you is a great calling. Never underestimate how the Lord can work in a child. And in those days, I remember I was curious, on the stage near Good Friday, when it comes to Good Friday, they will have this diorama put up, and there will be this cave down there at the side. And I would often ask my teachers, what is this cave for? What does it represent? And then the teachers would take the opportunity to explain to me about the gospel, about how Christ died for us and rose for us. And that was something that I recall very clearly. But all the other children's stories, I can't remember any of them at all. And I also remembered and knew that they taught me that this world was created by God. They taught me about creation. And I believe God worked in such a way where even at a young age, I mean, at home I went back and worshipped the gods and, offered incense and all that. But one thing I do know is that there is a Christian God out there. There is God. Right, and that was how He worked in the early days and while I was in kindergarten. And as I went to primary school, during that period of time, my mother started attending that very same church at Glory Presbyterian. She started attending the Mandarin service, much to the opposition of my father. But I thank the Lord for the faith that He has given to my mom. She persevered in going week after week. And at home, it was difficult and tough at sometimes. Sometimes I'll be given a choice whether I ought to follow my mom or I ought to follow my dad. So some Sundays I'll follow my mom. I'll go to this Mandarin Sunday school. Much to my shame, as I went there, I couldn't understand Mandarin very well. I couldn't get all the things that they were doing. I got lost sometimes. I couldn't find my Sunday school class. And when I went to class, I couldn't really get what the teacher was talking about. And so in those days, what my mom did was she bought some children's books for me. They were Christian books, and I just looked through all the Bible stories. And that was how I learned a little bit about the Bible during those days. But some days as well, I was frightened of my father. During a time, he was quite fierce towards us. And so some days, I wouldn't go to church. And so primary school just flew by like that. But however, near the end of my primary school life, at primary six, there was this neighbor of ours. They stayed two floors above us, and they attended Calvary Tengah. Right? And so sometimes, my mom would bring us. My mom met their parents while they were picking me up. And so my mom sometimes would bring me upstairs to play with them. And I can't remember what I did much in their house, but one thing that stayed with me was that on one of the doors in the house. Right there on this door was John 3:16. And so as a kid, as I played in the house, I read that verse again and again and again. Every time I went to the house, somehow, as I read of that verse, it would just stay in my thoughts. Right, and shortly after that, as I finished my PSLE, right, this very same neighbors brought me to VBS in Calvary Tengah. And that was where I first heard of the gospel. And remember the teachers were teaching me about the gospel again. And I remember that all these things I learned in kindergarten. And I was much refreshed in that. And I saw the testimony of the teachers, saw the character, their love that they showed towards me, their patience. I was very much touched. I believe my mom was also. And soon after that, we all started attending Calvary Tengah when I was in Sec 1. So my mom, my brother, and myself, we attended Calvary Tengah at a point of time. And that's where I went to BBK class. And it's during this BBK class that the gospel was again taught to us. And I cannot remember exactly when, but during one of those classes, I remember when I was asked if I would want to cry to the Lord, to pray to the Lord, to accept Him as my personal Savior. And I knew I did. And what was strange was that at a point of time when I prayed to the Lord, I realized that there was somehow no resistance. I didn't have any questions. There were no doubts. It was just plain and simple before me. And I knew it's not because I was smart, not because I was faithful or something, but somehow the Lord worked in my life in such a way, removed all obstacles, and I just very simply accepted the gospel and prayed. Soon after that, my mom, myself, and my brother, we were baptized in the church. Well, I wish I could say that after that I grew well as a Christian and I lived well and served Him, but quite sadly after that, there was this period where I had my first love in Christ. I loved to read, so I picked up Christian books. I read a lot. Loved the testimony of Robert Murray McShane. And so these are some of the things that I still recall from those days. But quite quickly, as I entered into secondary school, that was where I got very caught up in life. I was very much involved in the things of school and friends around me. So I slid back into the world quite quickly. I lived a double life at a point of time. I enjoyed school a lot more than I did of church. I just went to church on the weekends. I enjoyed learning God's word, but that was as far as it goes. I was far more interested in the things of the world, and that was how it was for my entire secondary school life. At the point of time, I didn't have much friends in church. I was very much a loner. I didn't grow up in the church. I somehow couldn't click with the other people in church. So it was tough on me, but I thank the Lord for the testimony of my mother. At home, I was pretty much terrible. I argued a lot with my father, and I showed a very poor Christian testimony. But during that period of time, I believe my mom continued to pray for me. My mom continued to attend church, and so I believe it's by her testimony that eventually, by the grace of God, my dad came to believe in the gospel. And so my secondary school just flew by again like that. And so I entered junior college. However, that's where things started to change. I grew tired of the life that I was leading, and I remember the end of my O-levels. I worked outside for a short period of time at Singapore Press, and it's during that time when I remember on the way back home on the bus, somehow as I was thinking through of that devotion I was reading that day, I can't remember what it was, but I felt that my life was so empty. I thought to myself that I was so tired of living this double life, just going to church on Sunday, somehow acting all holy and nice, and even singing in a choir, but you know, I was more engrossed in the world from Monday to Saturday. I even attended youth fellowship at a point of time. I loved to listen to the word of God, but I thought my life was just so empty. Is that how I am going to lead the rest of my life? You know, just serving a little bit on the weekends just to perhaps soothe my conscience a little and then going back to what I truly love. Was that how I was going to spend the rest of my life? And so I prayed, I broke down, I repented and told the Lord that I was going to come back to Him. And so that year, a lot of things changed. I went for my first mission trip that year, and again, I went not because I was zealous or anything. I went only because my friend went. However, so I went for that first mission trip to North Thailand. That was where, for the first time ever, I saw who missionaries were and what they did. At a point of time in church, we didn't have a pastor, so the pastors who came to our church, they were only people that we saw on the third Sunday to conduct a Lord's Supper. I was quite ignorant. I was quite foolish. I have no idea what a full-time ministry was all about. So, you know, occasionally we'll only see Reverend Quack or Dr. Toh, and that's as far as it goes. But however, as I went for the mission trip, as I saw how the missionaries lived for the Lord day in, day out, from the morning to night, how they cared for the children there, how they preached the gospel, you know, how they went forth deep into the villages to bring forth the gospel, I thought about my own life. I thought about what I wanted to do. At that point of time, I had great ambitions for myself. I loved to read. I loved to write. I loved the arts. I wanted to be a photojournalist. I wanted to teach, perhaps, things that I love, like geography and all that, all those things that occupied my mind. Those were my loves, those were my wants, and those were my ambitions. And so I thought about my life. Was that all that I was going to do? And it was also during that same year that I started attending Sunset Gospel Hour. And I remember during that time, as we listened to the messages, we were learning on the John Stone choruses, and very much near the end of the service, near the announcements, I remember Dr. Toh, he would often call out very clearly, "Young men, what are you doing with your life? Serve the Lord." And somehow, I do not know why, but week after week, Sunday after Sunday, as I came, that call just rang out again and again and again. And every Sunday, it will make me think, is it all that I wanted in life, just to fulfill my own desires, just to do what I want and, you know, serve the Lord, give the Lord the remnants of the weekend, that of the time and effort and all that I have? Was that how I wanted to go on? So I thought about my life and I prayed and asked the Lord that, you know, if He would use me, I would give of myself to Him. And so I shared this with a speaker during the YF camp, and subsequently it was shared to the elders of the church. And so an elder spoke to me, and what struck me was that when he prayed with me, he prayed this particular line that he mentioned. He said that, you know, James, you know, he prayed to the Lord that I will have no rest until His will be done in my life. And after the prayer, so I thought to myself, I mean, what kind of a prayer is this? I'm trying to seek some peace and some answers in my life. I was trying to see how the Lord was leading me, but yet you pray that I will have no peace. And I felt even more disturbed after that. And true enough, I didn't have peace in my life. And at the point of time, I also started attending the night classes. Remember the first class that I went to was Exodus. And a brother in church brought me there. He was an FCM coordinator and he was very fired up. He knew that I wanted to read more and, you know, listen more about God's Word. So he brought me there. So he brought me right to the very front. I was frightened. I didn't know what to expect. This was a Bible college after all. But as I sat there and as I listened to the Word of God being taught, I was amazed to see the Word of God being taught like that. And in 2 hours, the 2 hours that we had just flew by like that. And I learned to love reading God's Word even more. And I was very much humbled to know of how little I knew. And also at that time, I started interacting with some of the students there, some of the full-time workers, and I learned a little bit more about what it was to serve the Lord full-time. I took credit for that course and didn't do very well. And again, I was discouraged at a point of time also because I didn't do well. As I opened the exam paper, looked at one question. It asked, what are the two names of the Hebrew midwives? So I thought to myself, I mean, what is this? I mean, I'm not here to be tested on this kind of details, you know, and I was discouraged. I didn't do so well. But as I went back home, as I thought over it, I realized that I was very much humbled because there was still so much I didn't know. I thought I was on the right track. I was attending night classes. I was a better Christian of sorts. Yeah, and that was how I thought it was, but sadly it wasn't. Right, and so I continued to seek the Lord during those days. Right, and that was when at the end of the A-levels, right, and I had some a period of break time before national service. So I spent my days reading God's Word, seeking His will for my life, and decided to read through God's Word systematically. And at a point of time when I came to reading the Gospel of John, the passage that we have read today, just now, that was where I found the Lord's calling for me. In John chapter 6, where we have just read, let's turn to it right now. And so I was reading in this chapter, just before the passage which we have read, in the context of this, we have the feeding of the 5,000, and as we look at John chapter 6, verse 14, we realize that those men who were fed, right, it says here in verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Right, and we realize that this 5,000 who sat there, they knew who Christ was, they recognized that He was a prophet, so much to the point that they wanted Him to be a king, and that was what they did in verse 15. They wanted to take Him by force, wanted to make Him the king of the nation, to liberate themselves. Right, then that's when Jesus Christ retreated. Right, and so what we have read today from verses 22 to verse 25, we find that these people, they were very much dedicated to seek the Lord. They continued to search for Him. Right, verse 30, verse 22 reads, "The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place, where they did eat bread. After that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus." And so they took a whole great deal of effort trying to find where the Lord Jesus was. Right? And they went all over the region of Galilee, and finally they found him. Right? In verse 25. "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" It was almost as if they were asking the Lord, "You know, we search all for you. When did you come here? We are trying to find you." And then in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." And what we realize here in this verse is that Christ didn't answer them directly. He didn't tell them when he reached this place, but rather, we're talking about the Son of God down here who knew their very hearts, what they were thinking. These people down there, they took a whole great deal of effort to seek the Lord, for them to follow the Lord, to follow him all the way, to be fed by the Lord. We know that they had to leave their homes. They probably had to leave their jobs behind, and it was not easy for them to follow the Lord. But the Lord knew that despite all their dedication, despite all their labors that they took, all the pains that they took to find him, at the end of the day when they found him, they were only going as far as their own appetites, as their own desires were. They recognized and saw his miracles, but they didn't see him for who he was. They only wanted to follow him as far as their desires would want to go. And that's why the Lord asked them and told them this, "Verily, verily, truly, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles." Right? They didn't recognize who the Lord was. They knew that he was a prophet of sorts. They recognized that he was this great man. But truly, in their hearts, all that they wanted was of the loaves of bread. And all they wanted was to be filled. And that's as far as it goes for them. And I thought about myself. And, you know, and that was how I felt I was. I was attending church, perhaps just on Sunday and Saturday, perhaps to appease my mom, or, you know, just to appear holy as it was. And my life was very much misled in that way. You know, I loved listening to the word of God, but I cannot go on with this double life anymore. I cannot just seek the Lord as far as I would want to, hoping that he will bless me and then somehow allow me to go on my grand ambitions. Right? I cannot just serve him with all the remnants of my life, just, you know, giving him that 1-2 hours on a weekend and being contented with that, consoling myself, telling myself that I was a good Christian, I was serving him, I'm a choir member, I serve in a YF, and, you know, I thought that I couldn't go on like that. And so, I went on to verse 27. And so, in the earlier verses, we saw that it was a misguided kind of seeking that the people had, much like myself. Right? And in verse 27, it speaks of a true seeking of the Lord. It says here, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him have God the Father sealed." And in this verse, we realize that Christ didn't dismiss them. He knew that they labored. He knew that they worked hard to find him. Right? But however, they have missed the mark entirely. They have missed the point entirely. And that's why he told them, do not just labor for this physical temporal meat to fill your bellies and to sustain yourselves for just a little while. That was how they were, so short-sighted. That was very much how I was, so short-sighted. Placing myself above the Lord, placing my own desires, my own ambitions above the Lord. All right, here the Lord says, "But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him have God the Father sealed." And after this, the Lord gave the great discourse about the bread of life. And so I think about this verse, I reflect upon my life, and I told myself that I cannot go on any further. It seems as if I have missed the entire point of Christian living. I've been living very much in sin, going about by myself, and I realized that, you know, I have to turn around. I have to truly, truly seek the Lord. And if the Lord is able, you know, I would be used by him. And I would not want to seek the Lord anymore to do the things I want to do. And, you know, at that point of time, you know, sometimes, you know, as I come to sunset, as I listen again to the Word of God. And as I'm reminded, and as the call comes forth, young man, what are you doing with your life? One thing that I realized was that if anyone was to truly ask me at a point of time, do you know your calling? I realized that I cannot give an answer. Yes, at a point of time, I know I'm called to be a student, to study, but beyond that, what else? And it left me in great despair because I just didn't know what was ahead. I wasn't just content with what I was at a point of time. And so I continued to pray and seek the Lord and, you know, asked Him if He would be willing to use me, I would be given to Him. And so I realized that at a point of time, the Lord speaking to me, I relented, I gave Him, and I told Him that I would put away myself. I would put away all these grand ambitions, all these desires that I have, and I would serve Him with my life. And so, after I shared of this calling that I have, the elders referred me to Dr. Koo. I was able to spend some time in FABC to study the Word of God quite shortly. And at the point of time when I entered FABC, I knew I was rooming at a point of time with Reverend Hien. And so studied the Word of God at the point of time, I realized that I didn't study that well. I was just fresh out of my A-levels. I thought, never mind, I'll just try and test it out, you know, and see how it goes. I wasn't that serious in my studies. But however, one thing that strikes me is that at a point of time in the room, right, every night, or at least for most nights, Reverend Hien there will be praying with Brother Nelson and Brother Regor. And as I listened to their prayers, as I listened to them, you know, as they prayed to the Lord and as they struggled in the ministry, I grew quite afraid. I asked myself, is this what I have gotten myself into? You know, and I grew afraid. And at a point of time, I really, really wanted to run away from the Lord. I didn't react well. I acted quite foolishly. I didn't take my studies seriously. And soon enough, those few months passed by. I entered into national service. And during those 2.5 years, I felt very much like Jonah, just running about in my life, doing what I wanted, trying to run and escape from the Lord. I knew how hard it was to serve Him. I knew of the struggles of a full-time minister, and I dearly, dearly wanted to run away from Him. But during that period of time, by the grace of God, I was still able to attend night classes, still came to sunset, and, you know, my life was very much like a yo-yo. Sometimes as I listen to the Word of God, I'll feel pricked and be reminded of how the Lord has convicted me before. But yet, as I go back to national service, as I, you know, went about with my friends in there, I went back deep into sin, I did the things that the world would do, and I lost pretty much those 2.5 years of my life just like that. But however, at the end of my national service, I knew that, you know, I was going to ORD or finish in August, FEBC started in July. And so I prayed to the Lord, and at a point of time, I spoke to Dr. Koo. He told me to apply to this route, you know, for 1 month so I can come in to join FEBC on that semester. So at a point of time, I was quite doubtful. I thought, I mean, this can't be. You know, I spoke to my superiors. They told me that this thing was quite unheard of, right, to be able to disrupt, to go to some private college outside. If you are in a normal university, yes, maybe, but not for that. But still, I went ahead. I got the necessary documents from Dr. Koo, and so I applied. And true enough, just a few weeks down the road, a disruption letter came. I went through, and it was, again, a huge rebuke to my heart that, you know, I've been so wayward, but yet somehow the Lord is still pulling me back to Himself. He's making all these kind of things happen. And so I relented, and as I disrupted, as I entered FEBC, it was there that I finally had peace, because I knew that my life, well, my days of seeking my own ambitions and wants are pretty much over. The first day that I entered to FEBC, as I shared of my testimony, I felt a whole great deal of peace from the Lord. I felt as if my burdens have been lifted away from me. And during those years in FEBC, as much as the Lord calls, the Lord gives testings also. The first semester was difficult, was tough in there. Many a times I doubted if I had truly been called. And even at the end of the first semester, at the point of time, I failed Greek. So I was quite depressed. I was sitting in my room, wanted to just cry and give up. I felt so disgraced that, you know, I've studied the hardest I could, but yet somehow I had still failed. At a point of time, I remember this brother, our late brother Dominino. I do not know how he knew that I failed, but he came into the room. Then he spoke to me, encouraged me, and told me that if my calling was true, I just have to remember how the Lord has called me, remember His word that He has given to me. And so I did. And he told me to keep going on. He shared of how he has also filled of his, you know, he has filled subjects before. But still, the Lord allowed him to have faith to go on, to answer his call given to us. The calling is not something that you just go for a few moments of passion and then just give it up like that. If the calling is true, you will endure and persevere. So I struggled in my heart, I prayed, and, you know, by his grace, by this very same verse in John 6:27, I was reminded of what I ought to be laboring for in my life. We can labor for a whole great deal of things in life, but still, you know, what am I going to do with my life? And the Lord reminded me of that. So I persevere on FEBC, and as much as people would say that FEBC is a place of learning, for me it was very much a place of unlearning. Those 2.5 years in national service has very much wrecked my life. It has changed my heart and my mind a lot, very sadly enough. And those 4 years in FEBC took some time for me to, you know, put away all those worldly mindsets that I have, even some of those worldly desires that I have in my heart. And throughout this entire 4 years, I really thank God for his patience and for his grace, also for the lecturers and friends around me, how they continue to be patient, to correct and rebuke the word of God, to encourage me, to pray for me. And so those 4 years of unlearning and learning, thank the Lord for his testings and for his reminders, and was able to graduate from FEBC. And so after that, I served in church for a short period of time, and came to a period of time where the church somehow decided that I ought to perhaps go overseas for a period of missions. They knew that I had a burden for missions because that was where I first experienced and saw the full-time work. And at a point of time, too, I knew I wanted to go into missions. And so they prayed for me, and they told me that they would apply to BCEA for me to teach there for a short season of time, for one semester. And so doubtful as I was, I thought that's probably not possible. That's a Bible college. You know, I'm not particularly academically gifted or something. I know that, you know, I was still struggling to, you know, speak and to teach and all that. And I knew myself, and I thought that that was pretty much an impossible task. But somehow, as, you know, they sent out the letter, the acceptance came, and I was able to teach there for a semester. And as I served over there, it was a very wonderful period of time. It was just one semester at first, but the Lord allowed me to serve on there for a year plus more. I extended it, and I realized that, you know, at that time I learned more than I ever could. You know, I was forced to very much learn a whole lot to be able to teach. And myself, as you can probably tell, I'm extremely nervous in front of crowds. You know, as I entered into the full-time service, I had a whole lot of excuses. I've always known that I get nervous in crowds, even of 5 to 6 people. I was always very hesitant to speak my mind. I freeze up very easily in front of people. And I was still struggling with those things. But somehow, as I was over there by his leading and by his grace, I saw how the Lord worked in my life, how I was able to preach and teach, and how he was able to, you know, grant to me ministry like that. And to me, it was wonderful. I spent a lot of time there, you know, being able to teach and preach every day. It was great. There were fellowship groups there, visitations, youth groups, choir and all that. And to me, I felt very much at peace over there. Faced a whole lot of situations I never expected, and, you know, I grew a whole lot by the grace of God there. And still, out of it, came last year, and at a point of time, it was a difficult period over there. At a point of time, I had just lost a child in the fellowship group, struggling over there a little bit in the ministry, and at a point of time, also my work permit, it was kind of frozen because of government reforms, and I was just supposed to book a ticket to join Preacher Joshua Young in Rwanda. And, well, just before I booked the ticket, at a point of time, I heard of the split in church, and I realized that I didn't have much peace to stay on there. I spoke to Reverend Kim, we prayed a lot, and after that, I was pretty much, you know, I felt that it was very much unfair for me to keep on serving there with such a divided heart. And the Lord, by his grace, allowed me to come back home to be able to serve the Lord here. And it's still not easy to serve the Lord, still struggle with a whole lot of things here. But all in all, as I share this testimony, I thank the Lord for his grace, for his leading very much. And out of it all, you know, that's one thing about the calling of the Lord. You know, we can labor and do a whole great deal of things in life, but it's never about us, it's never about ourselves. So I think about how the Lord has led me. It's not because I was eloquent, not because I was smart, not because I did well in Bible college or any of those things. along the way in the ministry, what I constantly faced or am very much humbled by was how much I lacked. And it's during those times that the Lord, again and again, was able to teach me and rebuke me and help me by the leading of His Spirit, by His Word. And that's what the calling of God is. It's not about ourselves, but how He leads, how He enables in us. You know, as we have considered this passage tonight in John 6:27, you know, as much as the Lord has spoken to me, I pray and hope that the Lord speaks to your heart also. Not that long ago, I was just like one of you, sitting here in a crowd, you know, listening to the Word of God. And I was just contented with my life, with the way that I was going. But yet still, the Word of God pierced my heart and asked me, is that all that I'm going to do in this life? It's fine, yes, to answer the call that we've been given, wherever the Lord has called us to, whether you're a teacher, an engineer, or a student. Yes, fulfill all those callings with all your might and strength, where the Lord has called you to. But if you do not know, if you're not sure where the Lord has truly called you in this life, then I pray and hope that you will spend some time to think and consider of how the Lord can use you also. The Lord is able to put away all your excuses, as the Lord did through me. The Lord is able to enable anyone to serve Him. And I pray and hope that as you labor on in this life, you know, do not just labor for the things of this earth. Do not just labor and come to church and then go back into the world to fulfill your own ambitions and wants and then treat church as a side thing. That is not how the Christian life ought to be. And I pray that the Lord will speak to you and enable you to answer His call wherever He has called you to. And I pray that as the Lord has called us, wherever He has called us to, maybe go on and labor on wherever He has called us to. Let us pray. Our Father and our Lord, as we come before Thee, we ask of Thee that You will humble us in this time and let us know how much we have failed Thee and how much we lack. But we pray, O Lord, that You speak to us through Thy Word to let us know how much we lack, O Lord. Many a time, O Lord, You have used us and we know that we do not deserve of it. Many a times, O Lord, we have used our time, our effort and our strength for our own efforts, for our own desires, and we have missed the mark many a time, O Lord. But we pray that You will help us to walk aright in Thee. Help us, O Lord, to be able to answer Thy call wherever You will call us to. And we pray, O Lord, that not a soul here would be left to their own selves, but we pray that You will call many, O Lord, to the ministry by Your grace. So, Lord, continue to work in us wherever You have called us to. And we pray, O Lord, that You enable us and lead us with Your blessings. So help us, O Lord, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.